go ahead and call the meeting to order, and we'll want to welcome all of you here to our April 22nd board meeting. We have a fairly short agenda this evening. However, there are some important budget items as a part of that agenda, so we hope to have you out of here early. Mr. Thornton is not with us tonight. He's still recuperating from some surgery and should be back next meeting. Okay. If you now stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance and remain standing for the invocation by the Reverend Guy Holloway, pastor of the Grace Community Baptist Church.
Let's pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Holloway here this evening. All right. Mr. Drumright is... George, do you mind doing your honors?
Yes, sir.
May you bow our heads, please. Father, we come before you tonight as your people. We ask that you give us wisdom for this board, for its staff, that the work that we do will be for your glory, to radiate throughout this county. Lord, we know that you are a loving God, and we appreciate all that you've done for us. And Lord, we just thank you for the blessings bestowed upon our citizens, our elected officials, and our employees. This we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joel. All right. Thank you, Mr. Drumright. Next item on the agenda, Mr. Manager's approval of minutes.
It is, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. We have sent you both regular and special meeting minutes for April the 8th, and also, if you recall, March 25th, regular and special meeting minutes we brought back to you this evening. So, motion would be in order for approval of these two sets of minutes.
Okay.
Move approval of the minutes.
Second.
All right. Moved by Ms. O'Bannon, seconded by Mr. Denati, that all of these minutes be approved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. And they are approved. Mr. Manager, you have some comments this evening.
Only have one, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to ask Sheriff Wade to the podium for just a moment. Chairman, members of the board, as you know, the sheriff is an elected constitutional officer for Henrico County. It is a joint effort between the Commonwealth of Virginia and Henrico County. Sheriff Wade has been with us for a long, long time. We are in communications contact on many events. He actually provided me some information in the form of a BlackBerry several days ago, and I indicated we should at least tell the Board of Supervisors and the citizens. From time to time, there are inspections within our jail system that Sheriff so proudly undertakes to make sure that everything is fine for those individuals who are incarcerated. And last week, we had an unannounced life, health, and safety inspection from the Department of Corrections at Jail West. Sheriff Wade was thrilled, and I am thrilled to tell you that he passed with 100%.
Hey.
Wow.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. I really want to thank the employees of the Sheriff's Office that work extremely hard over there. There's a lot of rules and regulations and paperwork that has to be filed. And to get 100% was pretty incredible with the number of people we have coming in and out of there. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Sheriff. Okay. Do you have some other comments, Mr. Manager?
No others this evening, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Members of the board, any comments?
Yes, I do.
Board members?
I do. I want to thank the, this past week, I had just, this is just the usual thing for any resident in Henrico County, so I want you to understand that I got no special treatment, but just the usual really good treatment that you would receive from all the county employees. I had something unusual that I found in an area of my garage, and it was some type of weird material that appeared to be dropping, so I called the Animal Protection Services, and they sent an officer over. who did a really good job of analyzing the droppings in my garage and gave me a pretty good idea of what it was. And so at that point, I cleaned it up, and then I called, I thought perhaps this critter came in through a drain in my garage, so I called the Department of Public Utilities, and they sent out some workers who then analyzed the area that I was concerned about and then ran a test where you put dye in the drain, and they did find that it went through the sewer and that possibly this critter was coming through the sewer. And so I just want to say that I got really good service from our county employees this week. And they all, I don't think the animal protection officer knew who I was. She was excellent, I would like to say that, did a good job of analyzing everything. And the gentleman that came out from the Public Utilities Department and checked the sewer and everything did a super job, Mr. Manager. And again, I think I know they would do that for anyone. I just was very pleased to get a full idea of what was going on, and now I've been able to take care of the problem.
All right. Any other comments from board members? We do have some special guests this evening. I'd like to recognize that we have Boy Scouts from two different troops. From Troop 444, I'm going to ask if you all would stand up and give us your name, nice, loud, and clear. And then we have some members here from Troop 737. I think 444 meets at Reveille, what church?
United,
okay. All right, you young men would like to tell us who you are. Good, thank you. And are you working on a particular merit badge? Okay, well, good. Glad to have you here. We got two more from Troop 737. Where are these young men? Okay. All right, and you meet at St. Mary's? Okay, all right. Let's give these young men a good hand. Yeah, thank you. News media this evening, we have with us Melanie Martin from the Times-Dispatch. Melanie, thank you. Tom Lapis from the Interactive Citizen, Tom. And we have TV8, Carrie O'Brien, and Pete Woodley. All right. Thank you for being here. Now, I guess that brings us into, we have a number of proclamations this evening, Mr. Manager.
We do, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. We have four proclamations. The first is a proclamation for Soil and Water Stewardship Week, which would be April the 27th through May the 4th. I'm going to ask three individuals to step forward to receive the presentation. Ms. Gatewood Stoneman, who is the Director-at-Large for Henricopolis Soil and Water Conservation District, Karen F. Carter, who is our Director, and Barb Stroman, who is an Education Administrative Coordinator. Presentation of the proclamation will be made by Mr. James B. Donati, the Verona District.
Good evening. Well, there certainly is an abundance of water now, from what I heard on television, huh? We're out of the deficit. Soil and Water Stewardship Week, April the 27th through May the 4th, 2008. Whereas water is vital to all life on Earth and essential for the survival of all known forms of life, and whereas the Earth contains the same amount of water today that it did when it was formed, but the number of people on that planet requiring clean water continues to increase along with social demands for other uses of water, and whereas usable fresh water in short supply in many parts of the world and our own local and regional supplies may become more limited due to misuse and pollution, whereas the Henricopolis Soil and Water Conservation District, along with the 46 other conservation districts throughout Virginia, annually promote Soil and Water Stewardship Week and means to heighten awareness of the vulnerability of our water and resources. And whereas the theme for this year's Soil and Water Stewardship Week is Water is Life, therefore that it be proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors of Henrico County, Virginia hereby recognizes April the 27th and May the 4th, 2008 as Soil and Water Stewardship Week and encourages citizens and businesses throughout this week and beyond to make wise decisions regarding the management of water and other natural resources. And it's signed by our chairman, David A. Carrickley. I would like to present this to you this evening.
Thank you very much. We want to thank the board for the proclamation. We also want to thank the board for their continued support. I'm just going to say just a couple of words about what was in the proclamation. When you follow all the whereases, it's pretty difficult to do. But when you get to the meat of it, it is really saying that there is only the amount of water on Earth today that there was millions of years ago when the Earth was formed. And it's really very interesting that that's an SOL for our second graders, and that they totally can understand and do understand and can explain to you the precipitation cycle. It's very, very amazing what our children know today. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, our second proclamation is for Volunteer Week, which would be also April 27th through May the 3rd. I'm going to ask two individuals to come forward, Mr. David G. Ambrosi, who is the Technical Support Specialist and our Volunteer Coordinator for the Department of Human Resources, and he will be joined by Mr. George H. Cobble, who is the Director of Human Resources. Presentation will be made by Mr. Richard W. Glover, Brooklyn District Supervisor.
While the two gentlemen standing here are going to receive this proclamation, it's the people that they have that they've recruited to go out and help the citizens and help one another that deserve to have a copy of this. So this is Volunteer Week, April 27th through May 3rd, 2008, where the County of Henrico has an active and viable volunteer services program, and whereas the Board of Supervisors is continually attempting to improve and expand county services to citizens at the least possible cost, and whereas nearly 6,200 volunteers contributed more than 218,000 hours during 2007, thereby providing many additional benefits to the citizens and enriching the lives of our county residents, and whereas the value of these volunteer efforts is estimated to be $4 million. And whereas the giving of oneself in service to another empowers the giver and the recipient and creates an opportunity to better oneself. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors of Henrico County, Virginia, hereby recognizes April 27, May 3, 2008, as Volunteer Week and salutes and thanks each and every volunteer for the services they have so generously and willingly given to the county. Signed by David A. Cackley, Chairman, Board of Supervisors, and attested by Barry R. Lawrence, Clerk. And congratulations on the 6,200 people you were able to talk into helping us.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, honorable members of the board, Mr. Manager, distinguished guests and visitors, I'm honored to be here tonight to accept this proclamation of Henrico County Volunteer Week on behalf of all of Henrico County's volunteers. As the proclamation states, 6,154 volunteers have contributed over 218,000 hours of service to our county during 2007. Volunteering has always been a way of providing quality services to Henrico County residents. Volunteers aid our police officers in traffic safety and motorist assistance to give emergency medical care to those who are in need. Volunteers help beautify our parks, our roads, and our communities, and they assist with a host of other vital activities throughout the county. Volunteers are one of Henrico County's most valuable assets. The theme of National Volunteer Week is Volunteer to Change the World. This theme recognizes the ability of volunteers in the community and around the country to improve the lives of the many people they help, as well as inspire others to serve their communities. Henrico County volunteers truly change our world while inspiring us by their example as they make our community a better place to live and to work. and Rico County Volunteer Week gives us all the opportunity to show our appreciation for these outstanding individuals. By proclaiming April 27th through May 3rd, Volunteer Week in Henrico, you are saluting the efforts of these dedicated men, women, and young people and honoring them for their commitment to serve. As the voice of the thousands of county volunteers, I sincerely thank you for recognizing, supporting, and celebrating their many contributions to the quality of life here in Henrico County. Thank you.
Our next proclamation, members of the board, is a proclamation for Drinking Water Week, which would be May the 4th through the 10th, 2008. I'm going to ask our Director of Public Utilities, Arthur DiPetrini, to come forward. He will be joined by William Bill Moyer, who is the Assistant Director of Public Utilities. Making the presentation will be Ms. Patricia S. O'Bannon, who is Vice Chairman of the Board of Supervisors.
First, I want to clarify what I said during the supervisor's comments. I did receive very special treatment, but not because I'm on a member of the board. When I called the animal protection officer and when I called the Department of Public Utilities, but any citizen in the county would get such excellent service. I meant that as I didn't get this service just because I'm on the board. I just want everybody to understand that they gave me really good service by coming out and checking things. This is Drinking Water Week, and I forgot my glasses. I apologize.
Sure. You're there.
Drinking Water Week is May 4th through 10th, 2008. Whereas the health, comfort, and standard of living of Henrico County citizens depend on the abundant supply of safe, high-quality water, and whereas the expansion of storage, supply, treatment, and distribution facilities, as well as water quality monitoring, asset management, and the continued training of skilled personnel are essential in addressing the ever-increasing need for domestic water, and whereas the mission of the Henrico County Department of Public Utilities is to provide customers with drinking water of the highest quality, and whereas the county's public water system is protected from cross-connection contamination by backflow prevention devices at all industrial and commercial facilities, and whereas the Department of Public Utilities compliance with all state and federal drinking water laws remains exemplary, and whereas the county's water treatment facility produces up to 40 million gallons of drinking water daily and was designed to meet the county's future drinking water needs by having the capacity to produce up to 80 million gallons per day with moderate modifications, and whereas this facility is equipped with multiple sources of electric power to enhance the county's ability to provide drinking water during local power outages, now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors of Henrico County, Virginia, hereby recognizes the week of May 4th through 10th, 2008, as Drinking Water Week, in conjunction with statewide and national efforts to recognize the vital role water plays in our daily lives. Be it further proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors acknowledges the importance of conserving water resources, encourages all Henrico citizens to do their part in helping to protect their rivers, lakes, streams, and drinking water for the future, and asks our citizens to join the board in extending appreciation to the dedicated men and women of the county's Department of Public Utilities. Signed by a chairman, David Cackley, and attested to by Barry Lawrence, your clerk. Thank you very much for providing us water.
I'd be remiss if I did not say I'm accepting this on behalf of our staff. It is really the men and women who are behind me and Bill who allow us to receive a proclamation with such good words in it. They're the ones who work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every week of the year, and so I want to commend them for their efforts. Thank you.
Chairman, members of the board, our next proclamation is for Law Enforcement Officers Week, which would be May the 11th through the 17th, 2008. Several individuals in uniform will be coming forward. Colonel Henry W. Stanley, Jr., our Chief of Police, joined by Lieutenant Colonel Doug Middleton, Deputy Chief, Major Steve Alloway, who is in charge of patrol operations, Major Mary Ellen Fayhead, in charge of professional standards, Major James B. Fitzgerald, in charge of support operations, and Major A. Thomas Leary, in charge of investigative operations. The presentation will be made by Mr. David A. Cackley, Chairman of the Board of Supervisors.
I happened to be watching our Channel 17 last night and a special video on our Anarcho Police SWAT team. And if you haven't seen that video, you really need to see it. It really is a great video. And it points out the professionalism, the dedication, the training and the equipment, and the esprit de corps of our police department. I think it's very inspiring, and it made me proud to be a Henrico citizen and much more comfortable knowing that these people are out there helping look after us. And so it's very appropriate and privileged to read this proclamation on Law Enforcement Officers Week for May 11th to the 17th of this year. And whereas the law enforcement officers of Henrico County serve our citizens daily, protecting lives and property in upholding county ordinances and Virginia laws, and whereas by the nature of their duties, these officers endure grave danger and on occasion loss of their own lives, and whereas the county's law enforcement officers help make our community a safe place to live, work, and play, and whereas these professionals need and deserve the support of our citizens, and whereas it is important to remember our officers who died in the line of duty and to acknowledge our officers who continue to serve the county and the Commonwealth. And now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors of Henrico County, Virginia, hereby recognizes May 11th through 17th, 2008, as Law Enforcement Officers Week, and Wednesday, May 14th, 2008, as Law Enforcement Memorial Day, and encourages Henrico citizens to take note of these special dates. Be it further proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors salutes the county's law enforcement officers for their steadfast commitment to the county's public safety efforts and ongoing contributions to the quality of life of this community. And signed by Chairman Dave Cackley, Clerk Barry Lawrence. So, ladies and gentlemen, we salute you all.
On behalf of all law enforcement officers in that county, and including our Sheriff's Department officers that serve that county on a daily basis, we thank you for this proclamation. Also, on May 14th at 8 p.m. here in the Government Center over in Memorial Park, we will remember those officers who have given their all for our county citizens. But most importantly, all of us thank you for this recognition. And we also thank you for the support that you give us all during the year and with the necessary equipment and tools to do the job to serve our community. And we sincerely thank you for that. Thank you.
Chairman, members of the board, you have one item for consideration this evening under resignations. It is item 110-08. This is a resolution for a resignation of a director from the Culture Arts Center at Glen Allen Foundation. This board paper accepts the resignation of William G. Hodges from the Board of Directors for the Culture Arts Center at Glen Allen Foundation. Motion would be in order.
Resolution. Second.
All right. A motion by Mr. Glover and seconded by Mr. Denati to accept this resignation. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. And we accept that resignation.
Mr. Chairman, we now go into your public hearing agendas for this evening. The first item under the public hearing agenda is 111-08. This is a resolution for signatory authority. This is for a deed of easement on the county parcel located in the Brooklyn District. Mr. Price?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager. Approval of this resolution will authorize the chairman and clerk to sign an easement granted to Virginia Power for underground electric distribution line across County Road, north of Schrader Road and west of Hungry Spring Road. The land formerly used as a well lot by Aqua Virginia was acquired by the county as a part of the purchase of Aqua Virginia's water system in Henlico County. This conveyance will not interfere with any use by the county of the parcel. The Real Property Department has processed this request through the Departments of Public Utilities, Public Works, and Planning without objection.
Okay. Any questions by board members? This is a public hearing. Does anybody in the audience have any comments, questions, or concerns?
Mr. Chairman, here are no concerns. I'm going to move the resolution.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Glover and seconded by Mr. Denai. He approves the resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. That resolution is carried.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, moves the board. 112-08 is a resolution for signatory authority. This is a lease agreement with TTM Virginia Incorporated in the Three Chop District. Mr. Price?
Yes, sir. Approval of this resolution will authorize the county manager to execute a lease agreement with TTM Virginia, Inc. to lease space for a telecommunications antenna on the county's Cox Road water tank. This lease will have an initial term of 3 years at a rental rate of $6,000 per year. The lease may be renewed up to 5 additional 3-year terms with an increase in rent of 9% over the previous term. The Director of Public Utilities and the Real Property Department recommend approval of this resolution.
I'm not familiar with TTM. Is this a cell phone or the
cell
company communications or what?
I'm not sure who they do business with.
Mm.
I can find out for you.
So I'm just wondering if it's a general public use?
I believe so. I can find out for you.
Are they a new company that are getting
started? No, in fact, we leased it to them at another location.
Okay, recently?
No, several years ago.
Several years ago. Okay.
This is just a straight antenna?
This is a 2-foot diameter dish that will be located on top of the water tank.
Okay.
How do they attach it to the water tower?
There's rail at the top of the tank.
They don't drill into the water tank, right?
Yeah.
and cause work. Uh-huh. Okay. That's been known to happen.
Okay. Do we have other discs up there now?
There is a lease there
with set, yeah.
Triton PCS doing business as Singular Wireless. They have an array of antennas on top of it.
Okay. All right. Any other questions by board members? Again, this is a public hearing. Anybody in the audience would like to comment or question this resolution?
Right. Seeing none, Mr. Chairman, I'm
still going to hold it. You want to come down and identify yourself for us?
You have to say there's computers up here which drowned out your speaking from back there. Yes,
yeah.
If you would, and identify yourself. Jack Jager. I'm just curious if this is a competitive price that you're getting for this lease.
It is competitive, and it's compared to other similar locations around the county.
Okay. How about outside of the county?
Compared to other locations and other localities around Virginia.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, comments? If not, then...
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the resolution.
Second.
All right, moved by Mr. Denai, seconded by Ms. O'Mannon to approve the resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. All right, next item.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 113-08. This is an ordinance to amend and reordain Section 17-63, titled Charges Generally. Subsection B of Section 17-65, titled Overdue Bills, Discontinuance of Service. Subsection B of Section 23-284, titled Overdue Bills, Discontinuance of Service. Section 23-287, titled Customer Setup Charges. Subsections B and C of Sections 23.311 and 23.312, titled Water Connection Fees and Sewer Connection Fees, respectively, and Subsection A of Sections 23.313 and 23.314, titled Water Service and Volume Charges and Sewer Services Changes, Charges, and Rates, respectively, all of the Code of the County. This is all to change the county refuge collection fees and utility fees and charges. Mr. Petrini.
Yes, sir, Mr. Manager. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. To try to summarize this long board paper, it really covers four areas. Curbside refuse collection is proposed to increase from $26 to $30 bimonthly, and the last time that was increased was in July 1st, 2004. The water and sewer connection and facility fees are proposed to change as we receive the water and wastewater utilities rate study. There are numerous changes that the front page covers and highlights those changes. If approved, these rates would be effective. These changes would be effective October 1st, 2008. The next category are water and sewer service and volume charges. It's proposed a 5% rate increase for water and sewer service and volume charges, and if approved, those would be effective July 1st, 2008. And finally, there are several miscellaneous administrative charges that relate to reconnections and setups of new accounts that, again, if approved, would be effective July 1st, 2008. I have staff here and myself ready to answer any questions.
Okay, these are all the fees that have been advertised and been discussed during the budget workshops and approved by our board tentatively in the past.
Yes, sir.
Okay, there are a lot of different charges there and covers a lot of different areas. So do any of the board members have any comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I have one comment here. I think it seems to be a little excessive to charge someone $123 to connect their water back up if they hadn't paid the bill. And I'm sure there are some people that like to test the county and don't want to pay the water bill, but I think there in other cases, hardship cases, where you could have a single mother with several kids and she just hadn't been able to pay the water bill, and when she does get the money, then you have to put another $123 on top of that. That could really create a hardship for some individuals, and I just think it's a little excessive. And
all right.
I don't know if we could consider changing that or not.
The current charge is 100, or is it
35?
35. And 220.
Charge is currently 35. Going to 123 would be an increase of $88.
Okay.
Mr. Petrini, why did you choose to go to $123?
What we did for all the administrative charges is actually look at our actual cost. Reconnections after hours require people who are on call to come out and do the work. So we added up the daytime work and the nighttime work, and just on strictly mathematics, it came out to $123.
Well, I guess the question I had was, what about charges during working hours?
This is only for after hours.
Or before.
Before
and after. Before hours or after hours.
How much is it during
During work day.
The question is, what happens between the hours of 8 and 4?
Yeah, 35.
35. Yes, sir.
Oh.
So if this person waits till the hours of 8 to 4:30.
Between 4:30 p.m. and 8 a.m., the charge would be $123.
That's extra.
So they can wait
charge
till 8
time. And do we get a lot of requests after hours?
Approximately 20 per month.
As opposed to during the day?
Do we have a daytime
figure? Maybe.
I don't have that with me.
Well, could you explain to me how that might work then, if after hours?
Yes, sir.
Did they pay the water bill after hours to get that service connected back?
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Yes. We under certain set of circumstances, we accept payment after hours. And then we will go and turn them on.
Who collects that money after hours? The same
yes,
person
sir.
That's going to turn it back on?
It's by credit card.
Mm. Okay.
To who? Online?
to a third party.
If the individual calls this afternoon at 3 o'clock and your people can't get them at 5:30, do you charge them $35 or $123?
$123.
Even though the call came in at 3?
Yes, sir.
No, I don't like that.
Well,
I think you ought to be $35 all the time, man, because you know what? I'm not sure that, you know, if I call you at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it takes you 3 or 4 hours to get there, I'd rather buy you a better truck.
Yes, sir.
Well,
is the idea to penalize someone for getting it hooked up after hours? I mean, you know, is that the reason that...
No, ma'am. It is strictly based on the mathematics of the cost. It has nothing to do with pro or con to customer. It's just to recoup our costs.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is an activity that I know that you're not familiar with. There are a lot of, I won't say a lot, there are individuals who do not pay their charges. We do work with many, many people to assist them. To cut off a water is not something that we do lightly and not something that we do routinely. There are steps that are involved in here. But when it comes to a point where this does occur from time to time, the estimate is about 20 per month or about 240 per year. This charge was mathematically calculated in the study that Mr. Petrini and the Department of Public Utilities went in. From a cost standpoint, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we're talking about a little over $21,000. It is not of a magnitude that it impacts the budget. It is not of a magnitude that, you know, something's going to happen if you choose not to pass this. It is simply something from an obligation standpoint and a purely processing of evaluating all of the connection fees and everything else in this study that this did come up. And because of the overtime rates which are used, it comes in at $123. I would be the first to tell you that it's a little steep, but I also probably have more experience than any of you in reference to these types of activities during after hours. I personally have approved reconnections after hours simply based on conversations with individuals, simply because of the hardships that they tell me about. Mr. Petrini's done that also. But when you calculate it out, this is the cost of that. But again, $21,000 is not something that's going to impact his total budget at all.
I'm trying to think of this in terms, and I know what Mr. Petrini has to worry because he has to put the money into it from what comes out. I mean, we don't allocate money. It has to pay for itself. But usually when you have a charge that's listed like that, I will say one of the reasons you do that is because you're trying to discourage people from trying to get a connection after hours. That's another reason that you make such a high difference between the actual cost of during hours. So, yes, I would say it's probably going to end up doing that. And I think that's what Mr. Donati is concerned about, is are we trying to train people not to ask to have anything done after hours? Because that's going to be the side effect of it, or the actual effect of it, is people are going to not sign up until 8 o'clock the next morning. They're not going to call you, even if they come home from work and find out their water's off. But the intent then would be they're being penalized for not having paid their bill, I assume, as part of it. So what is there a charge? This is what this is. Is this the charge? Is this a penalty for not paying your bill, or you're ending up making a penalty for not cutting it back on? Sam, is there a penalty for not paying your bill? I mean, just to get it, that's what I mean, that should the charge not be on the bill to penalize them for not having paid, you know, a late fee for 3 months or something? Do you have a late fee that gets charged?
There is a late fee, but it has not it is not related to this matter.
This
matter is literally and strictly related to just accounting for who goes out, turns the water on, how long they have to be out. They're on call, they're after hours. If they're not in the field, they have to be called from home. There is no relationship to penalty or any other.
Okay. What is the late fee? Let me ask it that way.
It's pretty minimal. $1.
$1?
Right. Well,
okay.
This is a new policy, and we don't have any experience of saying.
We do have the policy in effect right now, sir. It's the cost, of course, is
$35.
Well, but, Dan, this, wait a minute. This is a new policy of charging more to do it after hours. And before, we only connected during working hours or any time any request was 35 hours. Now we don't know if you ask a person, do you want to wait until tomorrow and it'll be $35 or tonight $123? We don't have any experience about that, do we?
Correct.
So would you expect people to say, well, come on out tonight or
I don't know.
Is it difficult to schedule a bunch during the day? I mean, you only have 20 a month total right now, right?
After hours, yes, sir.
Okay.
Now, how many of them call after hours? Do you know?
Approximately 20.
All of them called after 4:30?
Yes, sir. After 3 o'clock or 4:30? 4:30, yes, sir.
All of them called after 4:30?
Yes, sir.
How much do you penalize the utility department if they call before 4:30 and you don't get there until after 4:30?
There is no penalty.
You had to think of it, though, didn't you?
Mr. Trini, the person that's doing the reconnection of the service, is that person on call? It could be at home and have to leave home and go to work?
Yes, sir.
Or you have someone around the clock sitting waiting for...
No, we have two things. We have on-call people just for these matters. Probably, though, we have a crew out doing repairs, water and sewer repairs, but that's a separate nighttime function than this.
Well, do we accept all requests to connect after hours, and we have a crew able to do that now?
Yes.
We don't say we can't do it until tomorrow?
Correct. As long as they pay by the credit card method, which assures us a payment, yes, we do it.
I agree with Mr. Donati. I think we're penalizing people, and it's only $12,000, $12,600 more per year in revenue, so it's obviously pretty much a penalty. So I agree with you, Mr. Donati.
Yeah, you know, a working mother could come home at 3 o'clock and her water is turned off, and she's got to make necessary arrangements to get the money to pay the bill, then it might be 5 or 6 o'clock where the water can get on, and she needs the water on for her kids because they got to go to school the next morning.
Could be a working daddy, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, any family. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to analyze or consider the fact that you do have to have this person there, but at the same time, when you make that big a change, a big a difference in the cost, you are signaling indirectly that you don't want people to call to connect after hours. That's what you're really signaling. I know what you're basing it on, you said that, but that's what the intent ends up being. You're signaling that you'd rather not have to go out after dark. Please wait till tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. That's the signal.
Could we reduce the 5% to 4% as far as the increase in bill and then give you the 123 for reconnecting? Would that help?
Mr. Chairman, no, members of the board.
Okay, notice that.
What I would tell you is this $123 has been calculated at the cost of doing this.
Cost, yeah.
It is the charge of going of the cost of that service. This is a long period of time between the rate study. I understand what you're saying. I had the same reservations, and again, if the board wishes at the end of this, there is not a large problem in keeping it $35. There's not a large problem of going to 40 or 50 or 60. Or I do believe that $123 is excessive, but I have to tell you that is the cost. It is not a penalty. It is the cost of doing this effort after hours. But my experience tells me that just as you have indicated, most of these come from telephone calls when people get at home and recognize that their water is not on. And, of course, they don't want to wait for more.
Right. How do we correct this and amend it?
We can simply, at the end of your public hearing, give this and any other items consideration, and we will simply strike through the 123 and leave it at 35.
Okay.
Has there been any analysis if you just generally added, instead of $35, made it 45 or something like that? The general, back on fee?
As far as I'm concerned, any figure the board wants to come up with is fine with me.
There's been no analysis, Ms. O'Bannon. This is simply, again, he's looking at the actual cost.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Manager, I do have one correction for the record. In the proposed ordinance, in section 23-284, which the title is overdue bills, semicolon, discontinuance of service, there is a subsection C. It really should be subsection B. I'll put that on the record.
And we'll take care of that. We will correct that paper accordingly. It's a small C, it should be a small B.
Will we do defer this to the end of the meeting?
No, sir, we'll take care of that right now. That has no bearing on it whatsoever.
Well, I thought you said we'd get to the end.
This is a public hearing. There may be other comments or considerations.
All right, there are a number of other fees involved in this particular ordinance.
They're awful agreeable.
Does anybody in the audience have any comments or questions or concerns on any of these items that have been mentioned for change? Other than what's been proposed by the board, so a paper to approve the ordinance as amended to keep the service charge as is, so they
35.
Right, 35.
Second.
Is that a close enough, Mr. Mayor?
I thought he said.
Mr. Chairman, if you repeat, I was not with the attorney too.
Mr. Chairman, I think again, if it's the board's pleasure to remove that 123, if that's what I'm hearing. Excuse me. That's been added by a second sentence in section 1765B and also in section 23284B. And so the board, if it wished, could entertain a motion at the appropriate time to simply strike that added sentence. That would leave the $35 charge regardless of when the rehookup is made.
All right.
And I have that in case that's what the board is.
Well, that was the motion to amend the paper to keep the fee and by eliminating that sentence.
Yes, sir.
All right. Is that your motion, Mr. Donati?
Yes.
I thought so. Okay. And, is there a second?
I certainly seconded for that reason.
Okay. And are there any other comments before we vote on this total ordinance as amended? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed no, then thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, your next item is 114-08. It's an ordinance to amend and reordain subsection F of section 20-72 of the Code of the County titled Elderly or Permanently and Totally Disabled Persons, affidavit or written statement, to extend the REAP deadline for first-time applicants or in hardship cases from October 31st to December 31st of the taxable year. This item was discussed with you, and Mr. Vitokas will explain it for the public hearing process.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Mr. Manager, this paper before you is part of a continuing effort to expand the real estate advantage program to the absolute maximums allowed under state code. And this particular paper allows for administrative enhancements that would extend the REAP the deadline for first-time applicants or in hardship cases from October the 31st of each year to December the 31st of the taxable year. And then tax relief, once approved, would become retroactive to January the 1st of each year. As we noted during your budget hearings, we have approximately 5,400 applicants in the tax relief program, and at some point, as was noted in the budget hearings during this calendar year, we anticipate bringing you another paper that will increase the income limits for the calendar year 2009 REAP program to $67,000 from the current $62,000 limit. This paper was advertised on April the 8th and the 15th of this year.
Okay. Any question by board members? We talked about this earlier. It's a little bit confusing because the tax year is from July 1, right?
The tax year, actually, Mr. Cackley, is a calendar year. It runs from January 1 through December 31st. So what this paper allows is if there is a first-time applicant, they can apply all the way through the end of the year, and then the tax relief will become effective, retroactive to January the 1st of that calendar year. And
right.
That'll cross a fiscal year.
Okay.
This runs into real estate, which is calendar year based.
All right. So actually, they could have, if they had paid their taxes, then they could have got a refund.
Yes, sir. That's what would happen.
Okay.
Then will it revert back to April 1 in future years? I think they had to apply before April 1st in previous years, I thought.
Yes, sir. April 1st has been a deadline, if you will, to put all the paperwork together.
Okay.
And that date was chosen because most people in the program are, it's around tax time, and it made sense as far as having, some of the information that's required for the application handy.
So then after this coming year, it'll go back to the April 1, or will it stay
October? April 1 is when we would prefer, when we attempt to get all of the paperwork
okay.
together for continue, for
Mr. Patokas, the question is, in the future years, will there be an April 1 deadline or will it be December 31?
There will be an April 1 deadline for people that are in the program. This paper will allow you to extend for first-time filers and in cases of hardship, which could be, someone sick.
I understand.
And
I got you.
Okay. Any other questions, board members? If not, anybody in the audience is public hearing, have any questions regarding this Real Estate Advantage program? Comments, questions? Okay, if not, then...
Move the ordinance.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Glover, second by Ms. O'Bannon to approve this ordinance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. That's a good deal.
Item 115-08 is a resolution, real estate tax levies for the year 2008. Mr. Tokas.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager, this is one of two tax rate papers that you have before you tonight. The real estate tax levies and the personal property tax levies that follow were discussed extensively during the legislative budget reviews. They were advertised on March the 23rd. As a recap, just briefly, the calendar year... 2008 residential reassessment, as was noted during the revenue briefing, was the lowest since calendar year 1995 at 2.6%. It was the lowest in the region. We had Chesterfield County at 11%, and the city of Richmond that was nearly 8%. The tax rate for calendar year 2008, as noted on page 3 of this paper, remains at 87 cents.
Okay. There are some other rates that are involved with this paper as well, are there not?
There are, Mr. Cackley, if you're referring to the five sanitary districts,
right.
You can see on page 2 of this, 2 of 2, you'll see on the upper right-hand side the... you'll see the 87 cents, and then the sanitary districts have a surcharge for streetlights, and there are five of those.
Right.
They run from the thousands or mills, if you will, to a penny, three pennies, one penny, and one penny. And I believe it was 2-3 years ago the board cut these rates in half.
Okay. That affects just a very few people anyway. The main thrust of the paper is to set the tax rate at the current rate of 87 cents per hundred. And as paper says, this paper may be approved, amended, or substitute paper. Are there any substitute papers tonight? Okay. then, anyway, I'm just joking, but any question by... board members here tonight on this paper. If not, I'm going to ask if anybody in the audience has any questions or comments about this paper keeping your real estate tax rate the same at 87. Any questions? Okay. If not, then any motion or substitute order may be in order.
Move the resolution.
Second.
All right. Move. Move to approve?
Approve.
Oh, okay. All right.
A lot of relief over there next to you.
Motion.
We've worked on this for several months, you have to understand.
By Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Denai to approve this resolution. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye, opposed, no. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, your weekend county manager will now call the next paper. 116-08 is a resolution for personal property, aircraft, manufactured homes, qualifying vehicles owned or leased by members of a volunteer rescue squad or volunteer fire department, disabled veterans' vehicles, motor vehicles specially equipped to provide transportation for physically handicapped individuals, machinery and tools, and machinery and tools for semiconductor manufacturers, all tax levies for 2008. Mr. Patoka.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and Mr. Manager. This is the second of two tax papers, that were discussed during budget deliberations. Again, these tax rates were advertised in addition to the budget and the real estate tax rate on March the 23rd. As you can see on the summary and both in the paper, there are a number of tax rates. The personal property tax rate, or general tax rate, remains at $3.50 per $100 of assessed valuation. The proposed aircraft tax levy is $1.60 per $100 of assessed valuation. The proposed manufactured homes tax levy is 87 cents per $100. There are a number of other rates, but what I'd like to just emphasize is there is one change that is proposed and was discussed during the legislative budget reviews, and that is that the machinery and tools tax rate proposed for calendar year 2008 is 40 cents per $100 of assessed valuation, and this is for semiconductor manufacturing facilities, and that represents a decrease of 15 cents per $100 when compared to the prior calendar year. You can see this paper, as you go into it, breaks out each of the tax rates that I mentioned, personal property, aircraft, machinery and tools in the general area, and then we have a tax rate of a penny for disabled veterans' vehicles that is set at a penny. The point of that is that it is set at a rate that it intends not to generate a bill. Machinery and tools for semiconductor manufacturing at 40 cents.
So actually, Mr. Patokas, the only change in the tax rates of all of these categories is the reduction from 55 to 40 cents for semiconductor.
Yes, sir. That is the only change.
But other machinery and tools, it's
remains the same.
55. Yes. Okay. Any question by board members? Number of tax issues there. If not, anybody in the audience have any questions or comments or concerns about these proposed tax rates? If not, then a motion be in order.
Move resolution.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Denai, second by Ms. O'Bannon to approve this resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Opposed, resolution are carried.
Madam Mr. Chairman, members of the board, is public comment session. I have one individual who did sign up to speak this evening. That is Florence Brown Black. Florence Brown Black, she may be here.
She's not here. She's not here. I think Mr. Ure had talked to her. She said she wasn't coming.
Other than that, Mr. Chairman, I have no other individual sign up. There may be others in the audience who wish to speak.
Okay. This is the public comment period of the agenda. Anybody in the audience would like to address the board if present any problems or concerns on issues that are not on the paper tonight. Anybody would like to take that opportunity? Okay, if not, we'll move into the general agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. The first item on your general agenda is 96-08. This is a deferred paper from April the 8th. This is a resolution for adoption of the operating and capital annual physical plans for the fiscal year 2008-2009 and allocation of car tax relief for the year, tax year 2008. Mr. Walter.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and Mr. Manager. This resolution, if approved, will adopt the annual fiscal plan for the operating and capital budgets for fiscal year 2008-2009. The fiscal year 2008-2009 annual fiscal plan was introduced to the board on March 11th at the board meeting. During the week of March 17th, the Board of Supervisors has met with each individual agency and reviewed their budgets on a line item by line item basis. The advertisement for this annual fiscal plan was in the Richmond Times-Dispatch on Sunday, March 23rd, and the public hearing on this annual fiscal plan was held 2 weeks ago, Tuesday, April 8th, and as required by state code, this the budget adoption was deferred to tonight, and as I stated earlier, the paper before you will adopt the annual fiscal plan for the operating capital budgets for fiscal year 2008-2009.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, if you remember earlier, I had mentioned that we did receive the indication of state cuts to our revenue services from the state of Virginia. I have prepared a substitute paper if you wish to consider that. It's labeled as 96A-08. I can tell you what that does. It is a substitute resolution that accounts for Henrico's reduction in state aid to localities. The state biennial budget, which was approved, includes a $50 million reduction in aid to localities. Henrico's portion of that is $1,526,050. These reductions impact both the general and special revenue funds. The difference between the original resolution, which is before you, and this substitute resolution are as follows. The estimated general fund operating resources and expenditures would be reduced by $1,419,807. This will reduce the general fund resources and requirements from $767,065,264 to $765,645,457, and the estimated special revenue fund operating resource and expenditures would be reduced by $106,243. This reduction will reduce the special revenue fund resources and requirements from $111,066,610 to $110,960,367. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, what this in essence does is reduces your revenues by $1.526 million and reduces the expenditures in the general fund and the special revenue fund by the same amount.
Okay. No effect on the capital budget, right?
No, sir.
Okay. This, in effect, is a amendment to the budget. We had reviewed it up until tonight, and we discussed this in, briefly in a work session, but... any board members still have any questions concerning this last minute?
Have we ever had a year that the state hasn't reduced their revenue? I can't remember, as long as I've been on the board.
There may have been some, Mr. Donati, but I think the reductions fit more in our minds than the lack of reductions, quite frankly. They do impact us. This $1.5 million reduction is in addition to a fall reduction of a little over $860,000 that
right.
The Henrico County had to take. So this year you've taken almost $2.4 million in state revenue.
It's getting close to a penny on real estate tax, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. All right.
If we hurry up and approve this, they can't do it anymore, can they?
This year.
Mr. Chairman, I move a substitute resolution 96A-08 for resolution 9608.
Second.
All right. Moved by Mr. Glover that the substitute motion or budget be considered in lieu of the original paper. Is that the vote? Right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed no. And before we vote on the amended budget, were there any questions on the original? And okay, then a motion to approve the budget as amended would be in order.
I move we approve the budget as amended for 96A-08.
Second.
All right, moved by Ms. O'Bannon and seconded by Mr. Donati. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed no. Does that put the budget to rest?
It lets it rest for a while, Mr. Chairman.
Well, we can't spend it so much.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 117-08. This is a resolution for award of contract for facilities assessment within the Division of Fire. Mr. Proto.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this resolution would award a contract to Pacheco Ross Architects, fixed fee of $89,750, and would provide for the assessment of the administrative, logistics, training, and operation facilities for the Division of Fire. And more specifically, it would review the prototype fire station the Division of Fire currently uses. It would also assess 8 fire stations, and in essence, the stations that this would assess are those that have not somehow been touched by bond referendum projects and other improvements in recent years, as well as would assess the requirements for specialty shops and ancillary facilities for the Division of Fire, and in essence create a plan for to meet the Division of Fire's future capital requirements. We would hope to have a report from this consultant by August of 2008 if the board approves the budget this evening, so that we can then use those results to guide us for the capital project requirements for the Division of future fiscal years. Funding is available for this assessment, and we do recommend it.
Is it strictly a facilities study?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions, board members?
Is the resolution?
Moved by Mr. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Donati. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. And that resolution is carried.
Item 118-08 is a resolution. This is acceptance of a donation from Remington Arms Company. Sheriff Waite.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager, this would allow the Sheriff's Office to accept 3 Eyeball R1 tactical surveillance cameras and kits from Remington Arms Company. They're small cameras that are in the shape of a ball that can be rolled into a room, that can be put on a pole, that can be mounted on the wall. It'll be great to enhance the security and allow us
to... Great. What's the estimated value of it, you say?
$5,000 a piece.
Five?
Yeah. Wow. I move a resolution.
Second.
Second. Moved by Mr. Glover and second by the rest of the board. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. All right, anything else, Mr. Manager?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. One last paper, 119-08, is a resolution for the acceptance of roads.
Always giving us a bunch of roads.
Yes, sir, I do. This board paper would accept 0.38 miles into the county road system from 2 subdivisions, Brindley Meadows, Section A, and Old Hanover, both in the Verona District.
Move resolution.
Second.
All right, moved by Mr. Denai, second by Ms. O'Bannon to accept these roads. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Mr. Chairman, can I say something?
Please, go ahead.
I just want to compliment staff, because I tell you what, we've gone through budget hearings of $1 billion, and our citizens are obviously not angry enough. Well, they love us enough, however you want to take it. I like to take it that they love us enough. But you know what? They haven't come, and I think that's a reflection on just absolutely great fiscal management. And I thank you, Mr. Manager, and your staff.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Glover. Okay. All right, if there's no other business, we'll stand adjourned.